Welcome to Lifestyle Solopreneur, the community for entrepreneurs who put lifestyle first. Join your host, Flavia Barris, as she interviews successful lifestyle solopreneurs and shares ideas to help you find the perfect balance between lifestyle, business, and self. Flavia is an attorney, marketing expert, and founder of several online academies. She's been featured in major media, including BBC World News, The Wall Street Journal, The New York Post, ESPN Television, and more. Join us for this episode of Lifestyle Solopreneur.
Hey, Lifestyle Solopreneurs. Today we get to speak with Alicia Branham. She is a design and marketing luminary with over two decades of experience as a creative and marketing communications director. Her journey into entrepreneurship was fueled by an unwavering determination to break free from uninspiring workplaces and financial constraints. As the CEO of Brand Marketing, she leads a virtual design firm tailored for the modern world, offering top-tier brand development, design, website development, media planning, and influencer marketing services. Welcome to the show, Alicia.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. What an intro. I really appreciate that, Flavia. This is awesome.
Well, I just love speaking to you because you have this great energy about you and this kind of like joie de vivre, like you enjoy what you do, you enjoy life. So thank you for being on today to share that with us. I'm just curious how you ended up where you are today, because you now work in design, marketing, you've got brand marketing, your company. Where did that come from in your past? Like, how did you end up doing this?
Sure. So all of my life, I've been very creative, right? So even as a young child, I like to draw and paint and do all kinds of things. And so I had a brief stint in my life where I lived in Uruguay as a teenager. And so I got to really develop myself in my creative juices, and the school I went to had a really great art program that just encouraged you to experiment and do a lot of things. And so I've just always had that bug. And then the second bug I've always had is helping people. And so back at like probably like 30 years ago, back in like 97, so I'm dating myself, when computers were getting really big and people were starting to use computers for design, I was like, that's really cool. I want to go and take my creative side and become a graphic designer. And so it started from there. And then after that, between the various positions that I've held over the past umpteen years, my last one being I was a marketing director for a large valve manufacturer in the Carolinas. And that really solidified all of my background and my marketing expertise. And so that's how Brand Marketing was born. I decided that I was tired of working in an environment where it was very, didn't care about the employee, didn't care about personal space, didn't care about, you know, really how much I would work myself to the bone. And then also when you work for someone else, you're at a salary cap, right? And so unless you start to make a plan to how you're going to either create a side hustle or a side business, or how you're going to create your own business so you can create, you know, your own income stream that you're happy with. And so Brand Marketing was born 6.5 years ago because I just got really tired of working for difficult people. And so now as the owner of my own business, I hand select the type of clients that we work with. And so I get to control the narrative of who I serve, the amount of money that we charge for our services. And it's just been a real big blessing for me. That's my journey.
I love that you're like, I don't have to work with a client if it's not a fit. Like, no one's forcing me to. I own the business. We pick our clients and we get to do the things we love. And I think that is the freedom so many people seek when they want to start their own business, because they might stay in the same industry they were in as an employee, but now they get to kind of call the shots, and that's so appealing.
That's kind of exactly what I did, to be honest with you. So I work in a market niche. So I work in PVF, pipes, valves, and fittings. Surely it doesn't sound very glamorous, right? However, very lucrative business. That industry doesn't stop. So it's just like if you were in the medical industry or hospitals or funeral business, right? There are things in our society that just don't stop. They're always going to keep going. And so I happen to be serving one of those industries and working for a company that, you know, I needed to live and breathe the products, where they went, understanding the customers, the end users, what was important to them. And so what I did is I just I up-leveled myself. I upcycled my career into a lucrative business.
Well, and it's a niche too, because, you know, let's say someone else works generally in the same industry that you do, generally, like the marketing part of it, but they're not going to be able to walk in to one of these clients of yours and compete with you because they don't have the experience. Like that is a very niche market where it would take a long on-ramp for someone to try to compete with you, honestly.
Well, thanks. I kind of feel that way. Being a MarCom director for a big company like that put me in front of a lot of people. So I joke that most people that work with me are either referred to me. I'm like, there's 2 degrees of separation between me and somebody that knows me, right? So like, I'm like Kevin Bacon. And I joke like 7 degrees of separation between you and knowing Kevin Bacon. Well, it's like that with me, but there's like 2 people, maybe one. So a lot of people know me from my previous life at that, you know, that big company with the big job, right? But they also know me because I'm working with someone else. So there's a lot of FOMO that goes on surrounding the people that I serve, or they just know that me and mine deliver, right? But here's my one thing, Flavia, that I did want to say to you is that I did niche down for me. Yeah, I'm in marketing and I'm a creative, I'm a designer, but so imagine this. Say like you are a marketer or a creative person for say like a sporting goods company, right? A local sporting goods company, or even like a dentist office. Just say like, you have been a marketing manager or an office manager for a dentist office for like 10 years, right? 10 years plus, right? So you might know a thing or two about running a dentist office, the type of marketing that they would need, the type of things that their clients are interested in, right? And so all of a sudden, you can take your years of experience in a specific industry that you know very well, irregardless of what it is, whether it's medical or construction or, you know, clothing or daycare centers. Maybe you specialize in daycare centers. Pick what you know and go after it hard, because people are going to know you and they're going to see you've got that passion, that drive. So I believe that anybody with some level of experience in a specific industry, especially if you stayed there for a while, that anyone could parlay any of their experiences, okay, into a lucrative business. Even say like you're a bookkeeper, okay, or you're an accountant or you're a junior accountant or whatever, you're a bookkeeper, and you specialize in a specific niche, why can't you just continue to go after that niche nationally? Because the internet's kind of opened it up for you.
That is such amazing advice. And I don't know if a lot of people, when they look at their past or think about what they've done, really think to categorize their past experiences as these assets, as tools that you can use later, and as also the things that make you unique. I mean, it could have been something as simple as like, hey, in college, I was working as a camp counselor, you know, like at some summer camp or something. I would spend my summers working with kids and like running the arts and crafts studio. Like that may be this long distant memory, but if you really think about it, that experience and having done that and, you know, the level of sort of organization and working with kids and what you had to learn about arts and crafts and supplies and all that, that's an asset. Like that's an experience you have. You may not have a certificate on the wall for it, but it's something that you can definitely use.
Exactly right. It's your intellectual property. It's what you have learned and accumulated for your experience over the years that you get to now translate that into some type of a business. I know a woman in one of the coaching groups that I've been in over the past couple of years. She's a professional organizer. That's her jam, but that's not what she does for a living. Like she works in the medical field and I forget exactly the office she works in, but I know her side hustle that's soon to be her big hustle is that she is a professional organizer and that brings her so much joy, right? So maybe it's just something that brings you so much joy that you're really good at, right? And you just have to believe in yourself that you can take that step and make something happen for you because you just can. We all have that power, Flavia, I think, in our lives that we all have the power to make something happen, even if we don't think we can. Even if we don't think we can, we have to think that we can. So if you tell yourself you can't do it, you're not going to do it. But if you lead with, I can make that happen, I'm doing that, then you're going to do it. The power of your language as you walk into this chapter of your life is really important. And so I never say I can't or I won't or I can't get that done. It doesn't work that way. I always say, I can, I'm doing this. I always tell the universe exactly what I'm going to make happen and it works. And so for anyone out there listening, you know, if you've got a passion for something, know that, you know, it's okay to try. And even if you fail, all these other rich people and all these other successful people, they didn't get it on their first try, probably not their second or third. And so that just makes you like everybody else, right? Isn't it like Thomas Edison that like had like 10,000 failures? He says it took some umpteen thousand tries to make success at creating that light bulb, right? And so what makes you or me any different than our forefathers or anyone else that's great in this world? You all got to try in some place.
So true. Could you imagine if somebody threw a basketball for their first throw ever, like, oh, basketball. Oh, you put it through that hoop. Okay. And they threw it and it like went way wonky, like nowhere near the hoop. And they just said, oh, I guess this isn't for me. I'm terrible at it. Bye-bye. And just walked away. You'd be like, no. Like this requires repetition and practice and trial and error and, you know, everything in life. I mean, no one walked on their first step. We all have like a learning curve. And sometimes that runway to take off is shorter than other times. And, you know, depends what thing you pick to go for. But I'm with you. Like we can't live life as if, you know, we get 1,000 years on this earth. Because like, if we're going to do stuff, we got to just do it. We can't just wait and procrastinate.
Nope, you can't. And so what you need to do is you need to listen to the right type of shows, the right type of podcasts, the right type of books. You need to surround yourself with the right type of people, like-minded people, things that are going to take you to where you need to be, right? Not waste your time. A lot of people waste their time on social media, not in a good way, right? And so shifting your attentions to activities that are more income producing or really take you to that next level of where you want to be in your life. I think that's where people they fail. they're not spending, like they spend their time in a not a great way, you know, because it's easier, right? And nothing worth doing is easy. Everything requires some effort and dedication and persistence and positivity and grace for yourself, right? And grace, yes. Lots of grace.
So true. So tell us like a typical client of yours. What is sort of a typical client and what do you do for them? You know, specifically, like what transformation do you make happen for your clients?
So we serve, I get dozens of clients, but there's like 30 of them that we serve monthly across North America. We act as your in-house marketing department. That's the best way to say it. And so the day-to-day for most of my clients is we're handling their social media conversation. Most of my clients are really active on LinkedIn. That's big for them because I do a lot of business to business work, right? So the clients that I serve are trying to get the attention of buyers, influencers, specifiers, decision makers, right? And most of those people live on LinkedIn, right? Because you're not looking to sell to John Q. Public. You're looking to build and develop these long-term relationships with these folks. And so LinkedIn happens to be a really great place for me to do that for my clients. So we build conversation, we build brands, we help to curate an agency's messaging or what their strengths are. So I'll give you an example of a client in Minnesota that I adore. They're one of their greatest selling features, besides the fact that they're a manufacturer rep, is that they have a master plumber and a master pipe fitter on staff, which is very unusual. And so I try to use that in my marketing efforts to boast their expertise, right? And their knowledge because they're unusual from the rest in the pack, right? And so anywhere from curating their brand, their messaging, their image online, what people think about them to, you know, creating or fixing and improving any forward-facing documents, whether it's a flyer, a handout, a catalog, their website, whatever that might be, right? I have a lot of people come to me and say, hey, I need you to create this ad for this magazine that we're in. And so we are a full service agency. So our clients know that when you work with me, you're never alone and you can come to me with any crazy request like, hey, can you design something the size of a postage stamp? Because that's what I need. Sure. And then after that, can you make it so it goes on a 20-foot wall behind me? Yeah, I got that too. And so we're just that one-stop shop for most of our people.
I love it. Can do. You're like, oh, sure. No problem. So I have a friend. She was the CEO of a concrete manufacturing company. She was a woman in construction. And she would go to this expo or like a convention. I think it was in Las Vegas, if I remember right. And it was called, don't quote me on it, I think it was called something like World of Concrete or something. And
it probably was.
There'd be tons of people there, but a very small, small, small number were women. As you can maybe imagine, construction is sort of a male-dominated, or has been traditionally a male-dominated field. So do you think that being a woman in this industry helps you stand out or gives you superpowers, or is it actually very common for everyone that works on the marketing side to be more just kind of reflective of society in general as far as the split between men and women?
Interesting question that you've just posed to me. So I work in a heavily dominated male industry, 100% true, right? Of course I do, right? Of course I do. Does it help me stand out? What helps me stand out is me. I think being a female in this industry, if you don't speak up for yourself, they're going to run over you, frankly, okay? And you've got to show that you are that confident female in your position, regardless of what you're doing, right? And so are women rising inside of the industries I serve? Yeah, yes, they are, actually. But it's still a heavily male-dominated industry. A lot of these manufacturers, a lot of these people, they're all, it's men. It's like 85% men. And even though there are a lot of women that do these jobs, and it, honestly, too, it's in the marketing lane, what I have found is that the business is owned by men, or maybe there's one female owner of the business. Well, don't you know that the female in that business, they're the person responsible for marketing? Always. 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 I actually could almost stake my life on it most of the time. So only one client didn't do that to me.
So interesting.
That answered your question.
I always just like kind of love exploring things like that, because I also think there's so many preconceptions, misconceptions out there that limit what people think they can do or go into. And I could see someone being like, well, I can't go into that industry. That's like a boys club and I wouldn't be allowed in. And it doesn't have to be construction. It could be lots of other industries as well. And not necessarily gender. It could also be like, oh, I'm not from that state, so no one's going to let me be in that like group that is very state specific. Whatever it is, where you think there are all these clubs out there that are like, you know, you're not invited. And a lot of times, no, like you have to break through that and be brave and say like, no, there's room for everyone in that industry or that organization or whatever it is. And even if you end up becoming the first, right? If it was sort of a boys club, and if you can get your foot in the door, you can make that change. And it'll just, I think, improve the thing that you're joining to bring a little more diversity and more points of view and just more people, more heart to it.
You're right. So since I have been in this specific lane since 2009, and so I have definitely seen a shift over the past umpteen years, you know, inside of the industry, and I'm watching more women rise inside of the inside of this industry that I serve. Even some of the organizations that my clients are members of, for the first years ever this past year, both organizations had elected female presidents to their boards, and that was the first time. So think about that. An organization inside this industry, like the American Supply Association or AMAR, which is an association for manufacturer representatives, neither one of them have ever had a female leader until 2023.
Amazing. Amazing. I love it. Well, my favorite vendor down here where I live to install or maintain garage doors is a woman. And, you know, I love it. I love how society just keeps changing, progressing, and getting better and better. So tell us a little bit about your future goals. Like, where are you going with what you're doing? I know, one, that you're a big fan of automation. I love it too. I think that's a topic every entrepreneur should spend some time mulling over and thinking about and exploring and implementing. But where are you taking your business in the future? What are your big goals and things? Because I'd love to be one of your cheerleaders and help you get there too.
Thanks. Well, in 24, I plan to really hone down my automation, since you brought that up. This year in particular, I invested heavily into creating various types of automation for my business using a robust CRM program called Keep. And so I've created all kinds of different campaigns, landing pages, automations for existing customers, for customers that haven't landed yet. And so by spending time and energies and monies investing into those items, for me, I now have systems, and granted, it's like anything else. You need to work it, need to feed it, give it content, et cetera. But now I've got these automations that I've built up for my system that when I have a new client that signs on with me, I tag them in my CRM system. They start getting a series of emails from me, welcoming them to the, you know, to our business and letting them know the lay of the land and how to do this and that and like payment. It just gives them everything. So I took all the things that I used to repeat over and over again, and I automated it. And so now I have, and I also let all of my clients that have been with me for a long time know that we've been doing all of these things. We've been creating all these automations. So I want to feel like I still have that touch with my clients. And then also it helps me to like upsell inside of my own existing customer base for things and other things that we're doing inside of our business. And so it helps me to keep sales moving along inside with my existing customers and also with potential new people. So that's something that I'm really going to be pushing really hard, because I've only been doing that successfully for like the past 3 months, right? So that's a big 24 goal for me, is to finish up all those automations. And then after that, what I have done is I've really listened to the needs of my customers. And one of the things that they really have is they have a problem with their salespeople harnessing the power of social selling on LinkedIn. And so I started offering and doing trainings for large sales teams. And so I actually did that this year for one of my clients, where I did it virtually and I trained their sales team on, you know, getting them to. So there's two things that I need to do in my industry. Is one, I have to change mindset about how people feel about being online and being on social media, and trying to get them to understand the difference between being on social media and being on Facebook and being on LinkedIn, where you're going to, you know, build your reputation and someone's going to go, yeah, I want to do business with you. And next, your products are spec'd in their projects for the next 5 years, and you've just secured a $5 million deal. Real different, right? And so that's something else I'm doing. So I'm changing mindsets by numbers. So that's how you have to get to people in my industry. You got to show them the numbers, show them your reasoning why, show them your proof, right? And then I train them how to do it. And so that's a big lane for me. And 24 is offering more and more training inside of the agencies that I serve, because their team are lacking and there's kind of no place kind of niching down and specializing like I am. And then lastly is I'll be starting my podcast in 24. So that's a big deal for me. So that's
amazing.
It.
Amazing goals. And I can't wait to see you especially launch that podcast as a fellow podcaster. I just think it's so great, the relationships you build and, you know, the help that you're able to just spread, right? We're able to, all this messaging, all of this just great, helpful advice is out there for other people to tune in, listen to for free. And I feel like it's part of that sharing economy. Let's put our knowledge out in the world. So I love that you're doing that as one of your big goals next year. So
I just want to say one more helpful thing to your users, okay, to your listeners. One of the biggest resources that helped me to open my eyes to a lot of new people, principles, mentorship programs, and things was a social audio app called Clubhouse. So if you've never heard of that, that app changed my life 3 years ago. It put me around all the different types of professionals and people that I needed to be listening to, because I'm not big into like, I'm just not big into listening to a lot of things. And so for me to have found a social audio app that introduced me to a lot of business coaches and other professionals that are in my lane, it was really a big point in my business for change, because it just really exposed me to being around a lot of other people that I'm not used to being around when we, you know, as a solopreneur or an entrepreneur, when you do your business out of your house, you're not really surrounding yourself with a lot of the like-minded people. You have to make an effort to do that. And so I'm just going to say to any of your listeners, that would be another great place for you to gain other resources through a social audio app that people don't really use. And it's a very valuable resource.
That's amazing. Yeah. Clubhouse is great. I often thought, wow, too bad that the term chat rooms kind of came about in the 90s and maybe earlier. And it was really these like forums where you go in and you type out messages and reply to people, but no one was actually verbally speaking. Because really, chat rooms is, I wish that term had not existed before, and then like Clubhouse would have invented it, because that's much more descriptive of Clubhouse. Yes. It really is like you enter a little room, there could be two people in there, there could be 1,000, and you're right. People are chatting and you're listening live to a conversation. It'd be like if right now, instead of listening to a recorded podcast, you are here now with us, like with Alicia, with me in this conversation, participating or just sitting and listening. And so Clubhouse is a lot of fun and it is themed. So you can actually go in and sort of find topics that make sense to you or that appeal to you or that you just want to explore and pop into a room, a virtual room, and just chat it out. It's great.
So it's a really great resource. It really changed my life.
Well, so for anyone that's sitting out there, if you are a creative person and maybe you're stuck in a job that is not creative or not the kind of creative that you want to have in your life, maybe you are a bookkeeper, but you wish you could do something where you would get to make choices about colors and design and, you know, marketing and kind of these get your creative juices flowing as what you do for a living. For anyone that's sitting out there that has those dreams, but is sort of feeling stuck, what would you say a great first step would be to shifting careers into something that is in the marketing field?
So first and foremost, you need to be building your brand, right? So you need to just start. You just need to start. As messy or unmessy as it might be, you just need to start. You just need a starting point. You need to come up with a game plan of kind of what you want to do, what you think you can offer, right? Put pen to paper. So even if it's just curling up on your couch next to your dog and, you know, a cup of hot chocolate to make you happy, you know, and just sit down and just do a brain dump of, you know, what you think you could be offering. Or like, if you're inspired by this conversation and you're like, I've been an office manager in the construction space for so long that I know all of this. So sit down, do a brain dump of all your intellectual property, of everything that you've learned over the years, everything that you've done to improve where you are at the job that you have, right? And then figure out how you're going to, and I know it sounds very loosely, but it will come to you. Once you do that brain dump and you start looking at it and you start hacking that up, the direction of where you're going to go is really going to come to you because it's going to be there. And then coming up with a price point or how analyzing how much time it's going to take you to do each one of these tasks or whatever you're going to build out. And then just start doing it. Just start doing it. Before I left my full-time gig to do brand, I started brand in June of 2017. With the goal of, and I still had a job, with the goal of that in the next 6 months that I was going to acquire 40 hours worth of billable time inside of my business so I could tell my boss to stick it where the sun don't shine. That was my big goal. And I did it. So I did it. Not just that, but I knew that things weren't great where I were. And I had left my big job to go take this other job because I was very unhappy at my big job. Because some guy came in with braided shoes and told me I couldn't do my job anymore after 6 years. And I'd done it great for all of 6 years, been promoted to manager, director, not doing a good job apparently. But I took another job with this company. I was so unhappy. And I was like, I'm done. And I just knew they were using me. I knew they were using me to get a new website, a marketing strategy, and all the works that people like me do, right? Right. And by the time they came to me going, well, I was already stacked and ready to go. I laughed. I was like, okay, great. And they said, well, you know, we're going to give you a month and well, you can work it or not work. And I'm like, I'm not going to work it. I'm going to take your month. Thank you. Because I was already doing work. I was already had my 40-week filled. So I took all that money for the month, put it in the bank and said, thank you. Thank you for the savings. So that's what I recommend you doing. Going after it, building up that getting your nut, what you need to make a month and then your 40-hour. When you get to that goal, roll and don't be a coward. Just do it.
Amazing advice. I love it. And I love your energy. And hopefully that was sort of like a little bit of kick in the pants. A lot of us need to hear when we are ready and we should be ready to jump up and go after our goals. How do people connect with you? What are the best places for someone to go to learn more about you, your company, and in general, follow and connect with you?
Sure. You can find me on Instagram. I'm really pretty active on there. So I'm the real Alicia Branham. And then you can find me on TikTok under Attitude, because I have an attitude. It's where I take up all my childhood aggressions. It's on TikTok, won't lie. Because I'm a marketing professional. I have to dabble in all the platforms, right? And then if you're really serious about business, you can also find me on LinkedIn just under my name, Alicia Branham, or my website, which is getbrand.com.
Alicia, thank you so much for being on the show. You are amazing. I love what you do out in the world. And thank you for spending your time with us today.
Thanks for having me, Flavia. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. And I hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. And if you leave a review on iTunes, I promise I will read every single review. If you know someone who makes a full-time living from part-time work, and maybe this is you, please visit lifestylesolopreneur.com to nominate a guest or to nominate yourself. Because remember this, money doesn't buy happiness, but money in the hands of a happy person, there is no greater tool.
Today's episode was brought to you by the Get Shift Done program. It's a lifestyle-changing online class to help you define your business and lifestyle ambitions, and to set goals in a way you've never experienced before. This class will 10x your daily productivity with methods that will blow your mind. And if you use the coupon code PODCAST, the class tuition is 99% off. Visit getshiftdone.com to enroll today.